So we can go live whenever you think we want to.
9 o'clock, sure. If you're ready.
Oh, I'm ready. So we both have access to the mute.
Good morning. Welcome to the April WolfPom meeting. Let's find out who we have on the phone. First off, do we have Aaron, our note taker?
Yes, I'm here.
Excellent. All right, let's start with, do we have representatives from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service? How about the Grand Ronde Tribes? NOAA Fisheries? ODFW?
This is Greg up at Minto.
Good morning, Greg.
Morning, Tammy. This is Ryan Couture.
Good morning. All right. How about Willamette Valley?
Greg Taylor.
Hey, Tammy. This is Chad Helms.
BPA? Any water management folks? Anyone else that I did not call?
Lawrence Schwabe from the tribe just joined.
Good morning, Lawrence.
Good
morning. All right, here in the room, this is Tammy with the Corps.
Rachel Neuenhoff.
Chris Walker.
That's all we have in here. Do we have any updates to the agenda? All right. None of those. Let's go to approving the March WolfPom meeting minutes. Do we have any additional comments? If not, those will be approved. Moving on. To action items. Who just joined us?
Hey, it's Bob Wertheimer, Tammy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are on action items.
So the first action item is an item we discussed a little bit at HMT in regards to pumps at McKenzie Hatchery due to the water supply issue. I know that Kurt Kremers had a contractor out last Thursday or the Thursday before, I don't recall, and another one was coming out. So Kurt or Ryan, you want to give an update on that item?
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, Kurt had an appointment this morning, so he's not able to be on the call. Not a great update. We have, Kurt has now had two different pump contractors out to kind of look at the intake there in the canal and try to identify what the best method and route and type of pump and all those details. Both contractors independently agreed that the only way to lift water that with that to that level of head is a submersible pump. So they're kind of putting together a plan with 2 8 to 10 CFS submersible pumps. That said, we haven't seen anything in writing and we haven't seen a price tag or a quote or an estimate as of this morning. So, working on it, no price for you quite yet.
So Ryan, this is Chris. If we were able to utilize pumps, what does that mean for Lieber in terms of what we need to do there or not do there?
Good question. In terms of the timing, the volume of water that we could pump, our plan A, so to speak, would be to pump enough water at McKenzie to enable the production of the smolt production to occur at McKenzie Hatchery. So moving those fish to Lieber wouldn't be necessary. If the pumps were in place and pumped enough water and were in place, say by the 15th or so of June, if any one of those things don't work out in time, then we would need to, about the 15th of June, move those fish somewhere else.
And then in terms of sizing of the pumps that we're looking at, do we think that's enough at McKenzie? If everything else went perfectly in terms of placement and all that?
Yeah. I think in terms of rearing and holding brood stock, yes. The other issue still unaddressed is the kind of attraction of brood stock. And so we'd be pumping a half, 50% or so of what normal flow or volume through the hatchery would be for that time of year. And so the likelihood of collecting enough brood stock would be somewhat unlikely. And so I know you've heard a little bit, Chris, and others probably have too. I'm not sure if Jeff Ziller's on the call, but Jeff's been looking into the possible design and installation of a steep pass ladder and sorter at the Lieberg Dam. And so that would be the alternative method for collecting brood, given that the water flow through the hatchery would be greatly reduced than, compared to a normal year.
All right, thanks. Any questions for Ryan?
Hi, this is Ann. I just joined during that conversation. When are these pumps going to be in place to start this?
Good question, Ann. We've had a hard time getting the two. So Kurt has had two different pump contractors out to look at the project and provide quotes. And as of this morning, or I guess as of 5 o'clock yesterday when I talked to Kurt, neither company had yet provided an estimate. And so in terms of timeline, we would certainly hope prior to, say, June 15th or so. But we would need to get a quote from them and then some, I guess we can talk through that, some agreement or assurance from the Army Corps that they would fund that cost.
Thanks.
Any other questions about this first action item? All right, moving on to the next one. That was mine. I was supposed to set up a fish facility task group, which I did, that was paired with hatchery management team, which is related to the third item. I was also supposed to set up the spawning survey task group, and again, this was paired with hatchery management team that occurred last week, and we met and discussed both of those items. The meeting was very productive in my opinion, and so those are complete. Any comments from other folks or questions on those two last two items?
You'll provide an update in the task group updates if people want it?
Yeah, part of it will be related to the change forms that we go through, and then the HMT task group update in regards to path forward.
Okay, perfect. All right, so moving on to normal updates, North Santiam.
So Ryan or Greg, Mary Forks?
Ryan, you want to go or you want me to?
It's all you, man.
All right. Everything at Marion Forks is going well. We're going to pond everything outside next week. Fish size and numbers are good. Snow's gone, so we're turning everything over to lawn equipment. Minto's been slow this week as we shut the ladder down late last week. Looks like the Big Cliff turbine's back online. Went online, it sounds like, at 6:05 last night. TDGs here at Minto this morning were about 102. So if everything looks good, we'll probably turn the ladder on this evening. That's all I got.
All right. Any questions in regards to Marion Forks or Minto?
Chris, that's later on. You have MFR. Is that going to come out?
Yeah.
I didn't receive it.
Yeah, I was waiting for the event to end, which extended longer than we anticipated. It's okay. Over now. So the MFR will incorporate what Greg just talked about, but also the unit outage, the elevated TGE, any potential negative impacts to fish, and then folks will be able to comment and provide their input or feedback. So that's where that's at.
Thank you.
All right. Any more North Sanium questions? South Sanium, Ryan or Brett?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. I can handle this one. I don't think Brett's on. So for Foster, 41 adult winter steelhead have been collected for the month, making 43 for the season. Those were all outmarked and all outplanted at the River Bend site. And so that's gone well, and actually a decent number of unmarked steelhead. Regarding the River Bend site, Chris, I think you saw some pictures from Brett yesterday. There, with the high water, there was a relatively severe bank erosion at that release site, and if that continues or isn't addressed, that will definitely impede our ability to outplant fish at that site. And at this point, there's no other known outplanting site above Foster, so we might need a further discussion on that.
So,
go ahead.
I was just going to ask about the Gordon Road site. I had the tire up.
Yeah, maybe I do have my sights.
I just didn't know, in a typical year, kind of the split between River Bend and Gordon Road. And it's something we can answer in the future, but I was just curious about that.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think we typically outplant steelhead at River Bend and Chinook up higher at Gordon Road.
But, oh, gotcha.
I guess I'd have to defer to Brett on the details there. But you're right there. That would be an alternative. It is higher in the system, and as Brett mentioned in that email, isn't accessible unless the reservoir's full. Anyway, we can chat more about that.
All right.
Other hatchery stuff on the south, things are going well. The smolt production has all been released. With the high water and the releases from Green Peter and Foster, the lower end of the hatchery facility was relatively flooded. What used to be the adult pond was completely underwater. Luckily, all the fish had been released the week prior, so there was no issues with inadvertent releases or escapees or damage or anything like that. So otherwise, things are going well.
Good. Questions in regards to the South Sanium from anyone? All right, moving on to the McKenzie. We already talked about the water.
Wait, sorry, this is Ann. I was not unmuted. I thought it was. My apologies. I had a quick question for Ryan. Anything unusual at the ladder given the high flows or the combination of where that water was coming from when it was basically spill?
Yeah, good question. Not that I can think of or speak to. There was a 10-day or 11-day period between the 5th and the 16th where no fish were collected. They were sweeping the trap twice a week, and for that period there was nothing entering the trap. So my guess is that probably would correlate pretty closely with the highest volume. And so no fish were moving in, and then as flow started to drop, they picked up 8 steelhead to the tail end of last week, and then 12 yesterday. But in terms of flow and facility issues, there's nothing that I'm aware of. Brett seemed to think things were operating pretty well.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right, McKenzie.
I don't have a lot to report other than what we already talked about with the water supply issues and kind of that critical timeline is probably like June 15th if additional water isn't available at McKenzie via pump or some other source, magical source. Our contingency plan would be to move those fish to Leeburg, and so at some point we probably ought to discuss that further. I know Jeff Ziller's working on an adult sorter design at the Leeburg ladder. I'm not sure if Jeff's on, but
yeah, Kelly and Jeff did join.
All right, do you want to give an update, Jeff, on that?
Sure. We have been working with Mark Wade and Ken Keniston on a design for a steep pass trap in the lower section of the left bank ladder at Leeburg, and the we're trying to get it to be a gravity feed water supply so that we can cut out some of the cost on a pump and some of the issues around a pump. The trapping mechanism is a steep pass trap. Actually, it's an Alaska type steep pass trap. We have sections of it that have been used over at Holt Reservoir on the coast, and this steep pass has been around the state. It went to from Holt to someplace at BLM, and then from BLM to our backyard, and from our backyard up to Northeast Oregon, used up there, and then it's coming back here again. So if that Alaska steep pass is very heavy, but it's also very well built, and if we can get this design approved, then we can save a lot of money with this particular type of trap. Mark and Ken are hoping to have some preliminary drawings out probably early next week, and we'll have some ballpark cost estimates along with it. They'll be a little rough, mainly because we want to make sure that design is approved ahead of time before we put too much effort into the nitty gritty of the costs. But it'll be close. Any questions on it?
No, thank you. Any other questions in regards to McKenzie Hatchery? All right, Cougar Fish Facility.
Yeah, not a lot to report on. We started the facility last month. So far we've transported 4 bull trout. We've been dealing with some pretty high flows up there the last few weeks, so haven't really caught much. The RO has been running, so usually whenever that's happening, the fish are attracted over to the RO. So flows are coming down, so I think hopefully we'd expect to catch some fish here soon. That's all I really have for Cougar. Anybody have any questions or anything?
All right.
Maybe FYI, we had an angler catch one of the spit tag bull trout from in the Middle Fork up above at the head end of the reservoir at Hills Creek, and it was probably about a 15-pound bull trout.
Oh, wow.
Somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 14 years old is what Vince and Nick thought it was.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Probably a female. And she spawned several times, been through our devices up there, pit tag devices, many times. It was pretty cool.
Did the angler have a pit tag reader, or was Vince with them, or?
No, what they did, they had two really good pictures of the fish, and Vince said, "I know that fish."
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
All right. So I have
that was at Hills Creek, so that was in the Middle Fork?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last item on the McKenzie is Leeburg Hatchery. Ryan, we talked about this a little already. I didn't know if you had any other questions in regards to the lease or that document that our real estate office had sent in regards to the closure plan or its potential future use, or if there are any near-term actions we need to talk about.
So I saw the email from, was it Jeremy? Is that how you pronounce his name?
Correct.
Okay. Sp- something a little different. So we have exchanged some emails. I'm trying to get a meeting in place with he and I and Scott Patterson. Scott is on vacation, so it might be next week before we're able to talk. In terms of the letter, no real issues other than maybe just the discussion. I don't know if we want to have it here or I can just follow up with Jeremy, but I don't have any issue with the list of terms. However, the timeline might be a little tight, 30 days to accomplish all of those items.
Okay.
Might be challenging.
So
we might ask for a 60-day time period or something along those lines.
We can talk with Jeremy in real estate and then just include me on the conversation.
Sounds good. And then and in terms of the lease, is there, other than the document with the terms on it, is there the chance that we might see a draft of the lease anytime soon?
I would think there would be, but I don't have an answer in terms of the timing. But I'll follow up this week on that.
Okay.
Maybe see if we can have real estate come next month.
Okay. Middle Fork, Willamette Hatchery.
Things in Willamette are going well. No real issues there with the rain we had and the flows here a couple weeks ago. The highway, there was a pretty good mudslide on 58. Again, I guess there was a trees down here a month ago or a month and a half ago. So the highway was closed there for a day or two. No real impacts to the hatchery. Things are going pretty well. Most of the baby fish, steelhead and chinook, are outside and in the outdoor ponds for the most part. So things are going well there, no real issues. All of the juveniles, small production at Dexter, have been released, and they're in the short shutdown maintenance and prepare for adult collection period right now. And so about the end of May or so, should have the Dexter trap open.
All right. Questions on Willamette or Dexter? All right, Fall Creek Fish Facility.
Yeah, so we've been having a good season over there so far with winter steelhead. So far today, we've captured 35 winter steelhead, 20 females and 15 males. I peeked my head in there this morning. There was several more in there, so having a good year.
Any questions?
I'm sorry, I caught the end of that. 25 females and how many males?
35 total. There was 20 females and 15 males so far.
Good ratio. Thanks.
Yeah.
Any other questions regarding updates? All right.
All right, HGMP updates. We are reviewing the terms and conditions for the HGMP buy-up, as I'm sure Oregon is as well. And I think Lance wanted those comments back as soon as possible. Maybe this week? Do you remember?
I just saw as soon as possible.
Yeah, I think it was as soon as possible. All right, Rachel, any Fitterweger research updates?
Yeah. Okay, so I have an update for the Weird Foster Dam. The special spill operations for Fish Passage will continue through June 15th, which is the end of the juvenile fish out-migration period. The fish weir remains closed until design changes are implemented. Our overall RM&E, we're going to start discussing the FY19 studies with the RM&E team. It's a late start for this year due to the government shutdown and the delays related to, or the delays of the science review until March. So once those studies are vetted and planned, we'll coordinate any special operations with FPOM. And with respect to SWIFT, there are no additional updates beyond what was presented at the science review in March.
Water quality?
Yeah.
Only thing I have is TDG finally came down in North Sanium after the unit came back online, and flows have decreased since that heavy precipitation event that we had. Next item, which is a flow update, unless there's someone from water management on. The next flow management team call is on May 2nd at 10 o'clock. And then I'll just go through each of the projects and their current flows. You can figure out which browser I have it on. So currently below Big Cliff flows are 2,040 CFS. Flows below Foster are screwed up because they're showing negative right now.
Oh.
So I can't tell you a flow below Foster this time.
Hey Chris, on the USGS site for that, it's 2110 this morning.
Thank you. Flows below Cougar are 995 CFS. Flows below Blue River are 389 CFS. Flows below Hills Creek are 2,457 CFS. Flows below Dexter are 4,867 CFS. And flows below Fall Creek are 215 CFS. And that's all I got, unless there's any questions about the future meeting or what's going on. All right.
All right, how about a pin and ped update from ODFW?
Sure, this is Kelly. I ran into Shay earlier Monday, I guess, at our headquarters office, and she had mentioned just kind of in passing in the parking lot that during the high flows, they weren't obviously doing any trapping. They didn't see anything going on at Willamette Falls. More recently, 20 new sea lions have shown up. And so she was heading up there on Monday, and I don't have anything more than that. So they got the 20 there, but they are going to soon be splitting their time between Bonneville and Willamette Falls, and so not able to spend as much time at Willamette Falls as they had been previously.
Hey, thanks for that update, Kelly. This is Bob Wertheimer. I'm up here at Bonneville right now.
Ah.
It's pretty interesting at Bonneville right now because we only have, the majority of our animals are all stellar sea lions. We don't even have, I think we have less than 3 California sea lions right now, and we're trying to confirm whether they're on the list for potential removals. So in terms of sending a crew up here next week, unless we get a change in disposition, trapping efforts may not be warranted. And that's one of the questions I have about the animals you have there. Do you know if they're the 20 are stellars? Do you know if they're California sea lions, so they'd be eligible for potential removals?
I don't know the answer to that, Bob. It was literally a parking lot conversation, and she was hustling on up there. So I'm hoping to have more information probably next week.
No, and thank you for that. I'm not trying to put you on the hot seat. It's an important issue right now because that coordination, as you are well aware of where we have the crews for removal, is going to be really important so we can be, so the fish managers can be as effective as possible.
Sure, and I'm making some assumptions that coordination is happening. That's not something that I'm directly involved in, but I'm sure they're talking.
And thank you for that. We actually have an FPOM the 9th, and so maybe I think this will be a good discussion topic at the follow-on FPOM on May 9th.
Thanks
again.
All right. Did we have anyone from BPA join us? Then I would say there's no BPA updates. So let's move on to the contract statuses. So the Willamette Hatcheries contract is a new one this year. Well, it will look very similar to the last contract, but it will be a new contract this year. Hopefully we will get the PWS to Oregon as soon as possible. Did you hear a date from contracting?
We did not. I'd imagine they'd review it, council review, and then it would go
and then it goes out. Okay, so we're still waiting for council to review, and then Oregon should see it so that you guys can start your review of it sooner rather than later. The trout contract status, so we are in option year 3 of 4. We will need to award the last option year by the end of December this year. And then we'll have a new contract in place by September of next year. And then the M&E, Chris.
So proposals for that contract were due last Friday. So I'm waiting to hear from contracting how the proposals and bids came in. But I would expect that we would see an award very soon, late this week or early next week, I'd venture to guess.
Okay.
Haven't gotten a date, but very soon.
All right. The coordination form hasn't been sent, so
yeah.
We'll just be looking for this particular one. So that moves us to the WFOP.
Right, so an action item last month was to have that fish facility task group discussion, which was primarily focused on how frequently traps were operated. And so folks at hatchery management team in that task group last week got together, went through the change forms for 3 of the 4 sub-basins anyway, and came up with a change form that we'll be looking at on the screen through web meeting. We plan to hash out Dexter at the next HMT, which is a little more of a unique situation. It'll take a little bit more time. So that's the plan, to get through that next task group or the combo meeting with HMT. But it'll be focused on that aspect in terms of finalizing what we think should go in the plan for Dexter. And so I guess we'll get started with the first one for folks. Is anyone on web meeting that could see my screen?
Yeah, I'm on it, but it just has the agenda on it.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna fire up or open up the change form that was a result of this task group meeting. It's very similar to the change form that was proposed by the Corps initially. Kind of the highlights for changes were that trap frequency information was pulled directly from contract language, so it's a lot more consistent to the current contract and will be consistent with the future contract. So instead of, if we look at what was proposed earlier, we had February through May 15th in terms of operation, and the contract, it talks about frequencies from May to the June timeframe, but then another frequency, just other times of the year. And that's how it's stated in the contract. That's how it's stated in the change form. We also split out.
Chris, your screen isn't showing anything but the agenda still.
Oh, thank you.
Is that better for everyone? Can you see?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So this table also includes categories for marked or unmarked, so a little bit more detail in terms of how fish are, which fish are moving and at what frequency and where they're going. There's also a couple other categories on here in terms of TDG. And then the species as well, in terms of what's done with those fish.
Hey, Chris, just one comment. I realized that where the output plant criteria column related to TEG for the first and fourth line should say at Minto, I believe, rather than at Niagara.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
Is there a timing, though, on getting a reader there that would be not hand operated for that TDG. That's my understanding, that there's a something that needs to be placed to have a.
We just did, and the Troy crew was going to install it last month, but with the extended outage, they were unable to do that. I got a email into Greg Eichmann. Hopefully, maybe this week, early next week, we'll get the permanent TDG meter in.
Awesome.
Just everything's here. The conduits run. They're just going to have to hook up the wires and plug it into the PLC.
Okay. And I think that there might be more discussion on this following the MFR, perhaps, like the timing of outplanning relative to ladder operations. But I guess we can wait till that comes out. If that sounds good to everybody.
Yeah, and this is really just something that we should get into the WFOP. And I'm wondering if we should leave it in Niagara, because is that the point where we'll take kind of the measurement for this, or will it be at Minto?
That is kind of my question about when we would know that something was amiss, and you would have that at Minto, but you might want to compare what's going on at Niagara, because that's also the reach that they'll be in between Minto and Niagara. So.
Yeah, and for some reason the TDG percent at Niagara looks like yesterday they added about 6 or 7 more parameters, and it looks like the TDG percent is something they took off. It hasn't been reading since they made those changes yesterday for some reason. I don't know if we have a contact there that we can make sure that that's one that they keep.
Yeah, we'll see if it returns. They may be doing an update. I know it's happened before and it's come back. But we'll keep that on the radar. So for the purposes of this item, are we okay with approving this change form? I know we had support at the task group meeting that we had from both NIMS and ODFW, but I'm bringing it to this group as well for feedback and approval and incorporating.
Was this the change from where we had said daily movement in September?
No, that's McKenzie.
Oh.
Yeah. I think from NIMS' perspective, the outplant criteria part is the new part that we're fine with that. If there's going to be another change form about trap operations, I'm sorry, ladder operations, that'll come in as a separate thing.
We can do that, yeah.
Okay.
This year, it'll just be in the MFR, and then if it's something that we think is going to occur regularly, we can look at that. All right.
So we're calling that approved?
Yes, approved. Sorry, Aaron. The next one will be for the Salsanium. Similar concept in terms of language is similar to what was proposed. It's just it more aligns with what's in the contract currently and likely the future contract. A little more simplified since we're only outplanting unmarked fish. And again, this one was supported at the task group meeting from NIMS and ODFW. So I'll call it approved unless I hear any objections.
Chris, this is Ryan. The only additional comment, and I think I had it in the comment column, and it looks like you removed that, and that's fine, but the only additional comment for mostly really the spring Chinook outplanting is just that, and it is in the WFOP in a different section or subsection about the tempering the water at the release site,
right,
for acclimation. So with that, with the release sites in the south above Foster, Brett really doesn't have the ability to do that due to the bank access. And then with the temperature issues at Foster, there, you know, tends to be a relatively large temperature gradient frequently. So I don't know if that's a separate criteria or if that's just a separate, if we just, I don't know how the best way to handle
it. I think that's a case where we need to maybe make some sort of adjustment to the language for the South CNN. I took that column off because I ran out of space.
Yeah, fair enough.
In portrait view. It's in there. I plan on posting this to the web, but if we need to add more detail to the WFOP, we can do that as well.
Hey, Ryan, usually, I mean, one option for either getting closer or kind of getting under that is if he can do the outplans in the morning, that in those systems like Zossanium or Fall Creek or some of these that run a little warmer, that's usually you can duck under that criteria if you get those outplans done early.
Yeah, that's a good point, Greg. And
that might be one option.
I like that. That's a good suggestion, Greg. I like that. The only additional confounding factor is that, you know, the intake for Foster is so deep that the water really is coming out significantly cooler than the than the river water, you know, and that's kind of being addressed through a separate group right now. So that just amplifies that issue. But you're right, morning outplan.
No, absolutely. That's it is a unique situation, for sure.
Yep. Sounds good.
But I'm calling this one approved. And we can address what we just talked about if we need to. So the last one that we have is at McKinsey. This is one that was proposed by the Corps, similar but not exact to what we talked about at the task group meeting. We didn't quite get that far, but I wanted to put this up because I know we had talked about a follow-up for the daily component on outplanning in September. And I know that daily was thrown out for September, but I also heard maybe daily might have issues, but I know that Chad and...
I'd like to keep the language the same between the facilities. I don't think we should be held to a different standard than everybody else. We certainly would intend to move those fish as often as possible in September, but I don't want to have one standard for us and that's more stringent than everybody else. I'm not sure why we would do that. There's no biological justification for it, especially when in September, without downstream passage and with the protocols that we've got in place already there, where there's all this hesitancy to move those fish in the first place, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So we will move as many, we will probably exceed that standard, but I don't see having a different standard for us than for everybody else.
Okay. Yeah. Part of this change form was a carryover. Part of it was from some discussions that we'd had. So what I'm hearing is if we use the same kind of criteria that we just looked at and submitted another change form, that's kind of what you would support, Greg?
Well, that makes more sense to me.
Okay. I don't have any issue. I'm just kind of carrying forward what I thought we had talked about.
Sure.
I don't know. I wouldn't think any other folks would have an issue, but you're welcome to comment if you do. If not, I'll put together another change form.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. All right, this is just a note for myself. The last one on here is for the Middle Fork, and we're going to hash that out at next HMT. So that concludes that section. Any questions? All right.
All right, so task group updates. Do you want to provide a rough overview?
Yeah, so what, in addition to what we already talked about at last HMT, we just went through adult disposition for 2019, which I need to post to the web. I can bring it up now if I could find it easily for folks to take a quick look. I know that you may need a little more time, but again, it was supported by all parties. Let me go back here. My computer. Did I close it?
You don't have to worry about it.
I think I just ended the meeting.
No, you're still sharing your screen.
Where'd it go?
Yeah, you're still sharing your screen.
I'm just, you know how you can find it down below? Like where the... In terms of pause, I guess I can just do it here. Well, anyway, I'll post it to the web. It's very similar to last year. Yeah, it's very similar to last year.
And you updated... I saw Jeff had made comments about updates to the notes.
Yeah.
Those are all incorporated.
Yep, I just need to post it.
Okay. All right, so then the SWIFT has no updates other than what was presented at Science Review last month. How about the TDG and maintenance periods?
No, I haven't rescheduled that yet.
Is there still an interest to have that task group?
I'm sure there probably is.
But is there a committed interest from the group? Because I know.
Yeah, we do need to. I think we need to make sure that we're all on the same page for that. And it could be that the change form might address some of that.
It was something that I did schedule. We had the federal shutdown, and we got busy with these other task groups.
You put out a doodle poll a couple of times, haven't you? I just don't want you to go to the trouble of scheduling a meeting if it's not...
I don't think it'll take very, very long. It's just a matter of finding time that works for everybody.
So maybe...
What's the issue, Chris? Is it that people just don't like how we schedule maintenance now, or they don't agree with the period, or they don't understand it, or what's the issue?
So, I don't know exactly when, but we received a change form that proposed different maintenance periods. It wasn't exactly feasible with in terms of the length of time that we need to do maintenance, but also I wanted to further discuss the details in terms of timing that was proposed. Just in a small group setting so that we're all on the same page, so that we're not doing something that we don't want to do.
Yeah, we want to make sure that the timing aligns with what we kind of the fish needs, and it has appeared that there's sometimes the maintenance window ends up being extended for a variety of reasons, and so we just want to make sure that we have an adequate buffer. Okay. So I think it's worth meeting to discuss and work through.
So let's
absolutely. There's going to be trade-offs in any period that we pick, so we've tried to work with the one that we thought was least impactful. But
sure.
How about after the May WOFCOM meeting? So we normally get done at about 10 o'clock. So from 10 to 11, you will have this task group meeting next month.
So a key player from our side is Elise Kelly, and I don't know what her schedule is for that day. So maybe Chris can put that date out to the group that would be affected, and we can see if that's going to fly.
Yeah,
does that work?
I'll send an email out.
Thank you.
All right, is there anything else for discussion or that we may need to bring up next month for the agenda? You guys are awfully quiet. All right, with that, thank you everyone for calling in, and we will talk again in a month.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye.